So yes, we can start.
So before we dive into a fishtail, which I was blown away with, do you mind if I dive a little bit back into your earlier cinematography work and casting work? I didn't realize you were highly involved in casting. Like, you worked with Yossi on Restoration.
How has
your experience in casting for TV and for movies helped you as a cinematographer, seeing what people's emotions are going through? I think it may have helped you capture people's emotions quicker than other cinematographers even.
So first of all, I was first a cinematographer, and then I found myself also doing casting. And I started doing casting in French you would call it casting sauvage, which means casting for non-actors. That's what I did in Restoration with Yossi. And with Yossi Madmoni, I was looking for non-actors, for real people to play in fiction films, something that is similar to what they do in real life or what they've experienced in real life. And I think that's very close to documentary and very close to cinematography as well, because you have to capture, to try to understand the person in front of you, the energy that he or she brings, and what's inside them, you know, to try to understand that very quickly. And in that way, cinematography and casting Sauvage, and later on casting with actors, which I see it the same way, are very similar.
So I've got to ask, another kind of interesting part about your career is you've been able to travel with these films. I mean, I think of a movie like Yellow Market and some of your previous work. Can you talk about the ability to travel with documentary, but also to showcase the wide diversity in Israel? I don't think people realize just how many different cultures outside of, you know, Arabic and Israeli are actually in this small country.
Mm-hmm. It's true that in Israel, because we are a new state, and people came from so many countries around, and we have migrant workers, and we have there's just so much that Israel is so rich with. And in documentary, I did get inside Israel to see a lot of richness in communities, and also going outside of Israel. That has been amazing for me. That you mentioned Yellow Market, that was something very, very, very different than the work that I've done until then, because it was more a journalist work. And I got to see Africa in a very different way than I saw Africa in Israel, because seeing the workers' community in Israel, the African community, which I'd known in my film, the Fishtail, and then seeing Africa in a wider point of view, a country at war, Congo, very, very, very eye-opening for me. It brought me a lot of knowledge towards my films, understanding Africa in a wider way. Even though my protagonists were not coming from a country of war, but understanding Africa in a deeper way from the inside.
As far as a fishtail, tell me what about the history of getting to know this family and getting to be so close. I think one of the favorite lines of the whole movie is at the very beginning where he's like, "I don't want you to film me cleaning. It's not who I will be." I was really blown away by that.
What he says, Johnny, is he says, "I'm not going to do this work all my life. Trust me, this is going to change." But he actually wants me to film him cleaning the toilet. He says, "Come here, shoot this toilet. It's part of the job. I want people to see the whole thing. Don't hide that part. But I'm not going to do it for the rest of my life. Be sure about that." And it happens. Meeting Johnny, I was an art student. I was studying at the Tel El Arts of Academy in Jerusalem at the time. And I was curious, walking around my neighborhood in South Tel Aviv, trying to understand who lives there, who are the communities. There were many Chinese in the streets there, streets that I hadn't known, and I just walked around with my camera. And I went into a church, West African church, and I was invited inside, and I filmed the ceremony. And then Johnny came up to me and he was trying to talk to me. I couldn't hear anything because the music was very loud. So he asked for my number. I gave him a number and he called me the next day and he said to me, I'm also a photographer. I'm a cleaner during the week, but in the weekend I'm a photographer. I have a camera, but I don't have anyone to learn from. Will you be my photography teacher? And I met up with him and I became his photography teacher. He had a camera at the time that was better than my camera, but he didn't know how to use it, and he had no one to learn from. And that was really eye-opening for me, because I had so much access to knowledge that he didn't. He only had one photographer in the church who wouldn't teach him because he didn't want competition. So he had no one to learn from. And he saw me, and he reached out to me, and he realized that he had a chance there. And I just gave him a few lessons. He studied really fast. He became a good photographer, and he started making more money in the weekends as a photographer. And even at a certain point, hired me to come work for him, shooting weddings at the community at the church. So this was very, very much eye opening for me, to realize that what I had, access to internet, reading English, being able to order books on the internet, having a credit card, all my teachers in the art school, all that is, he has none of that. I met someone living two streets away from me who had nothing of all that. And he just saw me and he saw a pipe to knowledge. And that's what I became for him. Later on, also with the fishing, I became a pipe to knowledge. And that was, I think that's why this relationship is so important for the both of us, because it was life-changing for both of us.
What was it like being able to film him when he went home and to see the emotion that went on? It was something wonderful to witness. I'm curious, since he's your friend, how much did it hit you while, I mean, you're filming this, you've got your camera there. I mean, that's kind of you're amongst it.
So I was along with him through the whole way, and also with Therese in Europe. But when it came time that he had to make a choice, if he would go to Europe or go to Africa, there was danger in that decision, and I didn't want to put him in any danger. So what I did is I told him, "You're going. I'm not coming with you. I don't know how this will end. I don't know where you will end up. I don't want to film you or put you in any danger." I send money with him. And as I said before, he was a photographer. He had his own camera. And I told him, once you realize where you are in Europe or in Africa and you feel safe enough to bring up a camera, just find the first person you can, give him money, and give him your camera and tell him that you want. I told him what I want to be shot. If it's in Africa, I want this. If it's in Europe, I want this. And that's what he did. I wasn't there with him in Africa when he arrived. I got the footage maybe 2 weeks later by post. Some of it arrived without sound, but luckily enough, the important parts arrived with sound. So I witnessed all of that from a distance. But that was a choice that I feel very good with, because there was so much, life is more important than the film. And there was so much, I could have put him in danger if I tried to follow him during that decision.
That's kind of like the sweetest thing I've ever heard a documentary filmmaker ever do. Wow. What a bold way to allow that. Wow. Congratulations on it working out. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Wow. I've got to ask, as far as filming is, I mean, I gather that you are continuously filming all the time. You always have a camera with you then?
No, actually, I like to separate life and filming. Now I'm in New York State after showing my film in New York State University and also another Israel Film Festival, and I was also shooting here another film. So I have my camera for the shooting days that I was working on, but the rest of the time it's closed in the bag and. I want to experience life, not through the camera. So definitely not. I like being when I can, and when I'm working, I'm looking at the world from a very different perspective. but I like to make the separation.
Very cool. Speaking of film festivals, I definitely want to know about your New York experience at other Israel Film Festival, but as far as Fishtail, congratulations, the Audience Award at Jerusalem. What was that like? It must be nice being on the circuit and to know that people are connecting with this film.
Yes, it's even more nice, it's even more amazing for me because this film was done for over 10 years and with no budget. No Israeli television channel or Israeli film fund chose to give a budget to this film. And by not giving money to the film, I was also given a message, this is not a story that people will want to see or hear. And somehow, I don't know how, I kept on doing it, along with Noam Amit, the editor of the film, who was really part of it from the beginning, and worked with me, even though we had no budget. And for me, I worked on this not knowing if anyone would ever see it. So the fact that it was accepted to Jerusalem Film Festival, and then we won two prizes, and the film is being shown out of Israel, is amazing. Anyone, any screening, any public that I have, I tell them that it's amazing for me, because I never knew if anyone would see it. And I was always given the message, this story is not interesting enough, or not important enough for Israeli public. So for me, it's a dream come true.
Wow. Do you mind if I ask about the New York experience and the reaction that the New York audience gave for the film?
There were two screenings, one in JCC Harlem, one in JCC Manhattan. And I really felt that people, when the light comes on after the film is finished, I look at people's eyes, and I felt that people are really inside the story, and they can see themselves in this family, and I think that's the most important thing for me, because they don't see it as, oh, they're Africans, they're, some people say they're refugees, even though they aren't. They don't put them in a box saying, okay, this is a story that has nothing to do with me. They can relate to it personally, and I can see it by the questions they ask, but how much they care about where are they today? So in that way, I feel that the public in New York, the same as the public in Israel, just humans looking at human story and relating to it.
So I've got to ask, Emmanuel, other than this project, can you share with us what other work you're doing? Is there anything that you've got coming down the pipeline that hopefully we'll still see soon?
So first of all, my day jobs are casting director and cinematographer in other people's documentaries, and I like filling my days with that, because there's something, it's not as hard as making your own film for so long and pushing it forward, and I like doing that a lot. My next film, I don't know, because at the moment I'm enjoying the fruit of 10 years of work, and I want to give that time. And when the next idea, if the next idea comes along, then I'll start it. But I'm not in a hurry.
Well, lastly, I'd love to ask, since you are someone who knows cameras and films, cinematographers are some of my favorite people to chat with. Is there any cinematographer or filmmaker that you've looked up to in your career that's helped you kind of focus how you want to work or how you want to live your code of cinematography?
I can say more filmmakers than cinematographers. Chantal Ackerman was a very, very, very important figure for me. And also Agnes Varda. And filmmakers who work in documentary field and also in fiction. Women figures that I can look up to that have a very, very unique voice and that go between artwork and documentary and fiction in the middle of all of that.
I love that you brought up women filmmakers. Kind of my last question that I've got to ask. getting to do a project or being a part of a project like Touching the Sky, that must have been very fun to see. I think in Israel there is a generation of women leaders through the military now. Can you touch upon that? I think that's really fascinating and important.
I was actually, when I was shooting Touching the Sky, which is a television documentary series about female pilots that go to a course to be pilots, I was pregnant, I think, 7 months at that time, shooting that series. And I think just, you know, having women issues and women power while being pregnant, it was very, very strong for me. We worked also with Hamal Tal, he's the director of the series, in which I worked with in other projects as well. And I love working with women and on women issues. And there aren't so many women cinematographers in Israel. We're very little. And that's something that I hope will change. And we're trying to do some work in Israel to bring more and more students, female students, to study cinematography and not be afraid of that subject. And realize that they can. Women think it's heavy and it's technical, and they stop themselves. And I think we don't have enough female cinematographers, especially in Israel. And I really hope that will change.
Well, Manuel, I love the film. I wish you the best, and thank you for the chat. I do hope you expand the world of female cinematographers. You're definitely one of the better ones out there. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. You have a wonderful time remaining in New York, and you know, a safe trip to Israel.
Great. Thank you.